So it's a Sunday after Easter. Though this is, as Shelley pointed out, it's actually Orthodox Easter. But for preachers on this side, on the Western side of the world, we know the scripture story that we are always asked to preach on, which is the retelling of Doubting Thomas. Doubting the resurrection, I don't know, is sort of like doubting that it's really spring. Very normative. I did not walk out of last Sunday's Easter celebrations to be hit with thunderstorms and lightning on Tuesday, along with multiple inches of rain, simply to be followed by what? 20 degrees snow that we had then on Wednesday? There is nothing as cold as 20 degrees when my mind believes it should be sunny and 68 and balmy. I think it was Wednesday, I wore sweaters, I wore my heaviest wool pants, insulated gloves, and I was still cold. And I doubted once again if Easter makes any real difference to anyone. I probably shouldn't say anyone. I simply should have said, does Easter make any real difference to me? Somehow, the doubt and the cold seems colder when it's not supposed to be cold anymore. Jesus has risen. It's amazing. But what if it doesn't feel like Easter? For whatever reason, like maybe the world still feels like chaos at this moment. And there's so much hate, and now perhaps some new and creative ways to hate Muslims, apparently. There are still so many guns and people who worship them. Or maybe you have a sick kid, or some significant relationship is hanging in the balance, or your job feels up in the air. Maybe you don't want to be doing the job you have anymore. Or that thing that you've been trying to let go just won't quite let go of you. Or the loved one that died is still gone. Because for us mortals, the last time I checked, dead is still dead. On Sunday, Jesus came back from the grave. But come Monday, some things still hurt. Come Tuesday and Wednesday, it's cold. By Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, some things will still be broken. Loss is loss, pain is pain, and the resurrection that means new life doesn't always fix it, does it? New life is still imperfect, still frozen over. It's pretty solid sometimes. And I figured this is right where the disciples found themselves come Monday. You know, after they put away the leftovers, found all the hidden eggs, hung up their Easter dresses. This is right where they were. Amazed, yes. Hopeful, well, absolutely. Game face on for the mission ahead. You better believe it. But you know, they were still broken. Cold. Broken. For all the joy that they felt at experiencing him spiritually, he's still not precisely with them, is he? He still died to them, in a way. They still have to let go of him. And that letting go business, oh, that's hard. It's a mess, really. You know what? There's a Leonard Cohen song for that. There's probably a Leonard Cohen song for everything. But just for this day, for this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and everything that followed Easter, when it's just so cold, when kids are marching still for their lives, and teachers are marching just to get running water and retirement checks and new history books, and women still have to fight to be fully accredited disciples, even though they were the first and the last ones there, always. And here we still are, with all of our messy human nonsense. Somehow, Cohen's cold and broken hallelujah, I think, is more fitting than the Handel version that we sang last Sunday, which was absolutely marvelous, choir, okay? Whatever heartache, the bright new clothes dressed up for a hot minute that we did last week, we sing the songs about death having no power, about love's victory, but is victory what we're after exactly? The hymn goes, "And I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and broken hallelujah." Incidentally, that song has 1,000 verses. Anybody's version. But this one, I think, is the heart of everything. It's the fragment of a prayer that I'm sure Jesus lifted up for those disciples as he broke bread for them that one last time before he had to leave them for good. "There's no winning here," he reminded them. "There's no winning here. There's no claiming of a throne or a title, because we were never after those things. It's not done. It's never done. Now get back out there." And that refrain hung in the air for a minute and then left, just like the sound of his voice. When Thomas is confronted, if you will, by the risen Lord, it's not that he's no longer a doubter. He never really was, and certainly not his realism. What changes is his perception of reality itself, of what is possible, of what God can do, even what God can do through him. Jesus comes and takes his mocking words and turns them back on himself, on him, not to humiliate Thomas, not to scold him, but to simply confront him with the possibility that his reality was too small, his vision of what is possible too limited. And when Jesus calls him to faith, he's actually inviting him to enter into a whole new life. And this issue of having too small a vision of reality is what I find interesting for me, because I also fall into a worldview governed by limitations, and I'm tempted to call that realism, which is when I need to have a community remind me of those grander visions. A vision not defined by failure, but by possibility. Not governed by scarcity, but by abundance. Not ruled by remembered offenses, but set free by forgiveness and reconciliation. Might we imagine that in and through the living of our lives of faith, that we are inviting people to experience a new reality in us? That's part of what it means, I think, to come to church, is to have our view of the world challenged with the possibilities of doing more than we ever dreamed we ever wanted to do. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't about scolding. Life is real, I understand. Life is hard, and sometimes life just is really hard. And if our vision shrinks, it's usually under the duress of personal hardship and tragedy. And let's not forget that we are bombarded 24/7 with headlines about all that's wrong in the world. If it bleeds, it leads. It may sell newspapers. It may sell Facebook ads. But it also leads us to believe, I think, oftentimes the worst in the world. Here's a scene, one of my favorite ones, from King Lear. I think Shakespeare's greatest play that comes to mind. It's when mad old Lear encounters his daughter Cordelia, the loving daughter he foolishly spurned for the sake of realistic pragmatism. Precisely because Lear is a realist, he expects to receive from her what he knows he deserves, what he has coming by the laws of the land and just human experience. And when contrary to expectation or reason, she forgives him, Lear gets a little disoriented and he asks, "Am I in France?" And his servants, thinking him still a little crazy, reply, "No, you're in your kingdom, sir." Yet Lear has left his pragmatic, realistic England, and he's been caught in a French, reality-expanding, world-expanding experience of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Where has your vision shrunk from what could be real to perhaps even negativity? Is it in the relationships you are about to give up on? The disappointment that you can't seem to get over? The wrongs you have done or have perhaps been done to you that seems to haunt your nights? The hope for sanity, forward progressive thinking? I think this morning it's time with Thomas to turn all those things over to God, who raises hope and new life from the dead. Do not continue disbelieving, Jesus says, but instead believe in God, in grace, in mercy, in possibility, in forgiveness, and in yourself. There are, I suspect, a lot of Thomases here this morning. One stands in your pulpit. We should not have to surrender our sense of realism. Don't do that. But we do need to be invited to a whole new reality that God does create. I find myself, after this cold week we've had, turning to learn from the tree sap, the buds, the flowers, the very grass in our lawn. They don't have a weather app, but nevertheless, they do not give up hope in growing, in multiplying, and just being darn beautiful. God is creating yet, and together as partners, we are creating a new day. The rest of our lives are ready to become more beautiful, more responsive to the true needs of the world, more so than ever before, friends. Feel the warmth of God, and let us grow together in faith community.